Well, we're so glad to be back.
Thank you.
7 weeks is 7 weeks, and then there's a recovery and all that other stuff. So it seems it's been at least 2 months, right? But we're so glad to be here with you guys. Robin's going to start first and share a few things, and I'm going to come up and close. I'm hoping she gives me some time.
Well, most of what I want to share with you is what's always on my heart. You remember when, before we left, I said we always take you with us. And I think on this trip, we saw that in huge amounts. And so what we experienced here this morning in worship, you're going to hear a little bit about stuff like that from what happened in Mexico. I want to share two stories, and you'll see what I mean. The first thing I want to share about, because you guys were really involved in that too, and I know you all love Joy and Pancho, is what happened the night of her surgery with the church there in San Juan. The church is called El Camino. And we were meeting for the Wednesday night meeting at the exact time that Joy was having her surgery. And so Armando and Suri, Armando's the young man that we, and Suri, it's the couple that got married the first couple, and within the first couple weeks we were there. And Armando did just a beautiful job of leading everybody into worship. And the Sunday before that, I believe, they had shared at the church for the first time, really, with everyone, the seriousness of her condition. And I think it was a surprise to the church, and they really gathered around and prayed for them. And so when everybody came together on Wednesday night, I know that there was a lot of hope and trust in the Lord, but also there was some fear, you know, could we lose Joy? And I can't, if I'm being honest, that was in my heart too, wondering if I was going to see my daughter again. And Joy even said to us the day before, she came out of the bathroom and she poked her head around the corner and she goes, "You know, Mom, I could die." As if I hadn't thought of that. But anyway, I said, yes, I know that. But, you know, God has this, and we don't know what the outcome's going to be yet, but you're in his hands, and we're good with that, you know. So anyway, at the end of the... So during the worship time, at the end of the worship time, Armando asked everyone to just start interceding for Joy, and one by one, people started praying for her, and it was just beautiful. I mean, God enabled me to understand all their prayers. We also had a translator with us in case we needed it, but I was able to really, you know, when you hear people pray, you can kind of, it's like the way we pray, there's familiar words, there's familiar phrases, and you sort of get a hold of that in Spanish after a while, and it was beautiful to just hear their hearts and their love for Joy and Pancho, and I just knew that I was sitting there with family. And it's just like the family of God is amazing. You know, we can go so many places in the world, almost anywhere in the world, and find the family of God and be in family. And so we knew you were here praying, and our church family here was praying, and we were sitting there in El Camino with our church family there. And no matter where we are, we're home. And I just wanted to say, just don't ever take that for granted, the miracle of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is just amazing. It's an amazing thing God does, how he knits us together through his Holy Spirit. Even when we don't speak each other's language or don't know each other's culture, we're knit together through the Holy Spirit. And so I just really wanted to share that. Oh, yeah, and Joy and Pontius' thank you letter to all of you is in the back. You can pick it up when you go out. And also, I wrote up a trip report that gives just a little bullets from each day that were highlights that you can take a copy of that and read it at your leisure, too. Or then I just want to, in light of that, I want to share with you, and I'll do that later. So I guess one of the things that was funny about that night is that before Joy and Pancho left for the hospital, she explained to me that she had given Pancho two groups to contact, like, or maybe three, like our family at home, the church family El Camino, and then I don't know if Fountain of Life was one of them. I can't remember. There were like two groups, two main groups. So Pancho didn't have to call a million people. He could just post in the groups how she was doing. And she told me what group we were in, Wayne and I couldn't remember. And so after the service was over, people were hanging around for a few minutes, but everybody kind of dispersed. I think everybody was just waiting to go home and hear on the phone, you know, from Pancho. And so we walked back to Joy and Pancho's house, which is just a couple blocks by ourselves, and we got in the house by ourselves, and we're just sitting there in the dark, and in the living room by ourselves, and I just was waiting to hear, and I just broke down and cried, and I said, I don't know what group we're in. I couldn't remember how we were going to hear. And then all of them, but one of the people, I think it was Armando, had added us to the church family group before we left the meeting that night. So we ended up in El Camino's group, as well as another group, but that's where we first heard. They first posted their results or their joy about how successful the surgery was to El Camino and not to us as the parents. And that was like a really interesting thing I had to deal with in my heart for just a minute. You know, was we gave our daughter to Mexico years ago. And you guys, like, have had such an impact in her life. This church, it's just amazing how God has used her and Pancho down there and what Pancho has learned coming here and the other church too, you know, Danny and Ricky and Oscar and Rosa Manuel, all of them, they've just gleaned so much from their times at Fountain of Life. So we gave Joy to Mexico years ago, but it's a beautiful thing. So the other thing I wanted to share that was really impactful to me was that, you know, usually before I go down, a couple months before we go, I'm asking the Lord all the time, you know, is there anything you're going to want me to share down there? And sometimes he gives me something, or we know ahead of time we're going to be doing this or that, and so we start to prepare some things. And I kept asking him, and I got nothing, absolutely nothing. And I kept saying, God, you know, like, a week before, 2 days before, you haven't given me anything. Am I not hearing or nothing? So I finally said, okay, God, I'm going to just trust you that we're going to know what it is when we're down there because, you know, I don't have anything from you. So when one of the things that we were asked to do, Danny asked us to do when we were up in with the church in La Puerta area, is he said that just a couple weeks before that, they had started dividing their church group up into home groups for Wednesday night and meeting in three different locations in people's homes. And so he asked if Wayne and I would split up, and Wayne would go to one group and share something there, and I would go to another group and share something there. And at first I was like, kind of weirded out by that. Split up, you know, go split up and go. I'm not used to doing stuff like that. But basically, God really just blessed us in both the places that we went. We felt that's what we were supposed to do. And God told me immediately, as soon as I, you know, Danny asked me, I heard God say, I want you to talk about body ministry. So I was like, oh, okay, because that's what we do in home group all the time, and that's what we do here at Fountain, and that's what happened on Friday night's prayer meeting and everything like that. But so I talked about one of my favorite verses from Ephesians, which is, and do not get drunk with wine, in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God our Father. And then the other one I read was Acts 2, 42 to 47. Which says, and I think this is probably one of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all the believers were together and had all things in common, and they would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that anyone had need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day. And so I ended up talking about home groups with this home group in Las Varas. And this scripture, when I went through it, I was talking about what a picture that paints of, like, if you're somebody on the outside looking in, wouldn't you want to be a part of that scene that I just read in that scripture? I mean, it's nothing but joy. It's a sense of family. They're eating together. They're being glad in their hearts. They're praising God. They're having favor with all the people. And I said, and what does God do because of that? He adds to their numbers every day. And so I talked about how the home group is a mini group of the church, the bigger church family. And so the home group is an area, place where you practice your gifts and practice, you know, ministering to one another and stuff like that. And that, you know, the church is going to be jealous. Like, look at the breakdown in the family in your country and our country and all over the world. You know, people are hungry for family. They're hungry for that kind of love and that kind of devotion to one another and to the Lord. And so I said, our home groups and our churches should make the world jealous to want what we have. And so I shared that it's typical down there, which is hard to break for them to break out of. I don't know if they're there yet, quite yet. But we made a little start at this home group meeting, and it's typical for them to just, when someone wants prayer, even if that person comes forward for prayer, somebody like one of the leaders may pray for that person or something, and the whole church just sits in their seats and prays too, in, you know, out loud in tongues or whatever they're doing, but they're praying. And we have never really seen a lot of body ministry down there. And so I explained at this home group that this is, you know, we're going to practice this tonight. We're going to practice, you know, using our gifts. And maybe you just have a picture that comes to your mind. It maybe you have a scripture that comes to your mind. Maybe just one word. And I use the example of how Dan Wilbur, oftentimes in our home group, he has one word that God gives him. And it's blessed us every time, like it blesses somebody in the group. It's either a confirmation or something. And so I said, you know, I'm not going to be the only one praying up here. You guys come up, get out of your seats, come up, lay your hands on each other, you know, pray. And so I asked if there was anyone to start it off, if anyone needed prayer. And so this one woman came up and who's fairly new to the group, and she was sitting in the chair. I called it the hot seat. They'd never heard of the hot seat. And so that became the buzzword for the rest of our trip there, was the silla caliente. So the hot seat was a very big hit. But I had a prophetic word for this woman, and so I told everybody, I'm just going to give her this word that God gave to me, and then you guys come up. And so I gave her this word. It really blessed her and stuff. And then these other, you know, I said, anybody else have somebody have a scripture for her? Does somebody have, come on up, come on up? I kept saying, come on up. And Oscar and Cielo were in that group, and a couple other leaders, and then, you know, a few other folks around. And so everybody just sat there. And so then I said to the lady that she could, you know, go back to her seat. And then this other girl, lady we'd gotten to know, Joanna, she jumps right up, and she just runs right up and gets in the seat. And so I said, now I reminded everybody again, I'm just part of you. I'm not here to be the person praying all the time. I'm just part of you. We're together here. This is our little church family meeting here. Come on up. Get out of your seats. Come lay hands. Nobody moved. And so I put my hand on this sister, and I felt like God was giving me absolutely nothing. And so finally, I just said, God, what do I do? Because nobody was getting it. And all of a sudden, he said, Azucena has a word. She needs to give it. So I just looked at Azucena, and I pointed at her. I said, you have a word. You need to give it to her. And she just opened her mouth and spoke it. It was like, you know, a fear, or just like not used to it. So it's hard to like step out. And so that started to unleash things. And after that, people weren't really jumping out of their seats, but other people were giving scriptures. Everybody wanted a chance in the hot seat, and it was a beautiful meeting. And so So I guess my encouragement to all of you in that is that don't ever take what we have here for granted. We have an amazing thing here that God is doing in our midst. I mean, and so I want to just read something that, because we did this also in San Juan, talked about home groups or talked about ministry time, and it kind of was falling flat there too because people were just in their seats. It's just really hard to cut through this and you know, do something new like that. And so at the end of the meeting, Pancho just erupted out of his seat, and this is what he said. He explained about his times at Fountain of Life and how it is a small church and with many older people in it, but that everyone is excited about God and about being a part of the body of Christ. He said that people are always going up to the microphone to share things or give a prophetic word or something that God showed them that day. Pancho explained that everyone is eager to share because they have the freedom to do that as part of the body of Christ. And that just really, really blessed us so much, and it was a real help for the church to understand, you know, what God wants to do with everybody. So, that's it for me. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, guys. Oh, and I just want to say that there was Joy meets with a 14-year-old girl and another lady from the church probably several times a week in the early morning to pray. And so I was a part of that prayer meeting with them. And I want you to know that we prayed for a lot of people from Fountain of Life in those mornings, prayer meetings. And I want you to know, Bob Hatch, that you were prayed for every single time. So, God bless you.
We see that wave.
We see that hand, yeah.
Well, we were down there for the 7 weeks, and this time we probably spent a majority of the time in San Juan with the church there with Joy and Pancho. And then And in Amando, yeah. And then a lot less time up at in the La Pinita area. And, you know, we just went through the 7 weeks. We did what was before us, and we shared a lot of things. And I must admit, when I wasn't thinking too much about everything that God was doing, and when I got home, it started to hit me. And when it did, I got very emotional.
Hallelujah.
And I, you know, woke up some nights and I was just weeping because I realized some things that God did, and how do I communicate that? So when we were down there, especially in the San Juan Church, I don't know, we shared maybe 7 or 8 times, and we started off with a couple messages that God gave me. Past that, that's all I had, was a couple messages on the grace of God. And so we talked about grace versus the law, and really gave them a much better foundation to their walk. And with that, you know, there was a one word that I would speak like a father occasionally, and I did during those messages, and I basically told them that it was time to grow up and time for them to begin to take responsibility and act like free men and not like slaves. And that was a good word for them, because Pancho kept saying, you said all the things I've been wanting to say for a long time. But, you know, just God just gave us, a father's heart to express that in love, and they were receiving it. Then after that, we began to share some messages about the church and how the Holy Spirit needs to be the center of that, and without the Holy Spirit we are just an organization versus an organism, and began to express how they need to function as the body, as Christ with as the head. So we when I returned and started thinking about all these things, that I didn't know how to really have you understand what happened there. And so I wanted to tell you another little story first. When Joy and Pancho moved into this new place, which is his family's house that was given to them, and when they moved in, it was a complete disaster. You know, they went in, and the first thing they had to do is take care of these first front rooms, which were all under this adobe structure. Some of the walls in there are almost 2 feet wide because of the adobe. to handle the weight, you know, they make them extremely thick, because it's basically just out of clay. Well, anyway, the one room became their bedroom and office. The other room became their kitchen. And then from there, from the kitchen, if you go straight back, it goes into this living room area. And past that, they put up a new bathroom and dug a trench completely out to the street to put in the plumbing, which is through their concrete floor. You know, they had to break that up and lay everything and then cement it back up. You know, it's a lot of work. And so they did all that work. But when we arrived there, they knew that, you know, they needed to have, they were frustrated, or they were overwhelmed with the project, because they knew that they wanted to have a second floor with some other rooms. They wanted to redo what they had in the back, not the adobe part, and they didn't know what to do. And so, you know, after I listened to them for a while and listened to what they wanted, I got out some big, graph-type paper, and I drew them up a floor plan for the first floor, the second floor, elevations, and I probably spent 2 days on this. So I played the architect, and I drew out these plans. And after the plans were there and they looked them over, all of a sudden we all felt like, we can do this. It's not so overwhelming. It's obvious now that we need to start a plan where we start in the back, and you, when you get a little money and start to build forward a little bit at a time, and maybe in a couple of years you'll see it completed. So what seemed to be overwhelming and undoable is now something that's laid out with a plan and something that's now doable. So I realized that's what God had us do on this trip. We played the architect, and we gave them some teachings that helped them see what they were building, helped them see what the church was, and that they were a part of it. And they were the workers for the house of God. I wanted to read a scripture that I read several times down there. It's from Isaiah 66. It says, this is God speaking, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? See, in this scripture, we see two things. One, man's inability to build anything for God. And two, we see the desire that God has. A house. A place of rest for himself. But this is the one that I'm looking for him who is poor in spirit and trembles at my word. See, the building block that he has is us with a humble heart. So God gave us some different ways to express some things for them because we're breaking through a cultural problems. You know, the same is here, but even more there. They have a one-man pastor that is the head. And matter of fact, this one new couple that came said in their church, anytime the pastor spoke, all the children had to stand up. And when he preached a message, everybody had to stand. Wow. Who's the head, right? Who's in control? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is Christ the head? Or is a man a head? See, there's cultural things of that, you know, that are there that we have as well that we have to overcome if we're going to live in the culture of the kingdom. And so I didn't talk about leadership through those first six or seven messages, and on the last message I opened up and talked about the fivefold ministries and began to have them understand how leadership fits into the picture if Christ is the head. And before we did that, we started with this skit that God gave us. And the skit just was amazing how it worked because it was simple, but it just kind of broke down all the religious stuff related to these fivefold ministries. And what we did was we opened up the skit, not telling them it was a skit, and we were presenting it like we were at a construction site. And all you guys were out there ready to work that day. So I was the architect that came in and said thank you for coming and introduced everyone and said we got a lot of work to do today. Thank you for getting here on time, which is an issue there. And then from there, you know, talked about the plans that we had today that we're going to build some bathrooms and we're all ready for that. At first, we got the the owner's assistant came and he wants to give you a word. That was the prophet. And the prophet came and just encouraged them for all the great work they did it last week, and just brought a word from the owner and a blessing and encouragement to them. Then we introduced all these were done with letters, but Miss E was the evangelist. She came up and told about all the materials that were gathered and ready to build the bathroom. And then after that, we introduced, we had some new equipment, so we had some new manuals. So Miss M, which is the teacher, and she came up and explained. She read all the manuals, so if you need any help with the manuals and understanding the manuals and the equipment, she'll help you with being the teacher. And then last we talked about that we had some interpersonal problems, and Robin came up as Mrs. P, and she expressed that, some things about how she was there to help them through their different issues, and they were going to have some meetings to work out their problems and things like that. So then we ended it saying, well, it's time to get to work, and so then we went on with the message. And when we walked through the fivefold ministry, and they all knew who each one was, they all understood it, they all saw it from a different point of view, that it was that they were there to equip the saints and not to do the ministries, and that everyone out there was able to do that.
Thank you, Lord.
One last thing I wanted to do before I continue. I asked Paul to come up and read this note that the church in El Camino wrote to the elders, and so I'll let him read that first.
Dear elders, the Fountain of Life, we at the Fellowship El Camino wanted to write and express our gratitude to our Lord for all the things he did through the lives of Wayne and Robin over the last 2 months here. First, we are so grateful for the solid teachings we received on grace, body ministry, the purpose of the church, plural leadership, and the five ministries. This was very impacting for everyone, and especially helped the new people and families understand the important fundamental principles. People walked away from these messages saying they had never heard anything like it before, that it was the first time they really understood grace, that they knew they needed to mature, and that Christ being the head gives them freedom. We can see that it has helped many to value the church more and desire to be connected with others in the body. We can see how these teachings really helped lay a firm foundation for the congregation. Second, we were very blessed by all the moments of personal ministry and smaller classes that took place. Robin was very impactful in the lives of some of the young ladies with personal prophetic words during our morning prayer times. Also, there were personal ministry times in homes at church. We also had a 3-session Christian marriage course, which was really helpful for the 2 newer couples in the church. This course helped them see the big difference between a normal marriage and a Christ-centered marriage. Lastly, everyone was so blessed by what their coming and being here represents. Wayne and Robin being here shows us that we are not alone, that God has a covering of love and friendship through Fountain of Life Church that is so impactful to the congregation here. You are spiritual fathers that give security, encouragement, and wise counsel. We also know their coming here represents sacrifices of time, commitments, and money on all your part. We are so grateful to the Lord for binding us together as family, and we are grateful for each and every member of Fountain of Life Church. Your support to us is indescribable. Let the kingdom of God always reign in your hearts. With gratitude and love, the Fellowship El Camino.
So again, when I returned and started to think about everything God did, I got, you know, very emotional about it. Because the first thought that came to us was, who are we, Robin and I? We're just simple folk. We're really, you know, no great speakers or... And so we're just overwhelmed how God used us. But then the second thought that I had was, everything that we shared and everything that we ministered came from here. Over the years, what we've been taught here at the Fountain, initially maybe through Dale, but many of the words that I heard from Peter and Don and Paul and others, these are the words that we brought down there to share and to minister. And so they're expressing, oh, I never heard that before. It's because there's revelation from God that's here and a breaking of culture that we have not been afraid of, that we were more interested in walking in the kingdom. So I just was really humbled that God has blessed me and making me a part of you guys. And that he's able to use simple vessels that are willing to lay down their lives and be called according to God's purposes. So we just wanted to thank you for all the years that you have been with us, as well as all the teachings and the encouragement that you have given us, and all the prayers that you send us down with all the prophetic words, which we didn't take time this time to talk about, but were significant in many of the things that we experienced. Maybe some of those are expressed in what Robin wrote up about the Father and the building of buildings popping up and things like that, that were different prophetic words that were given from many different people here. So I want you to understand, even though we didn't talk specifically about those words today, they were all significant to our time down there. So I hope that I'm communicating today the heart of that we have for what God has done in establishing a different, helping to establish a different foundation down there, mainly this time in San Juan. And I kind of looked at it the same as Joy and Pancho and their new house, because they have done a lot of work down there. They've done all the work on their house and on the God's house, along with a few others helping. And what we came down and done is helped with a little bit of an architectural view and in the plan for them to understand the foundation and where the building is going. So we need to continue to pray for them, that the Bible says is that the foundation is built upon the apostles and prophets, and Christ is the chief cornerstone. But then he says, be faithful, or be concerned. I forgot the exact word of what, how you build upon it. And we will continue, because that is our commitment with them, to continue to help them build as they have continued to bless us. So thank you. I just want to pray for you guys and just ask the Lord to bless the fountain of life. But give me a second. Lord, thank you for establishing us upon a firm foundation. And I pray, Lord, that you would just now build and continue to build upon that foundation here, that you would pour out a blessing upon the fountain of life. That blessing, we know, is your Holy Spirit. So I just ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon the fountain of life, like a spring rain that does not stop and continues to come down and water the earth and does not return void. So, Lord, I just pray that your blessings would be fully seen in relationships, in physical healings, in financial success. In every way, Lord, I pray that the ministry in and out of this place would be increased. Increase it, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for not looking down upon us and seeing just old people. But seeing lives that are alive and full of vigor for your Spirit. Yes, Lord. So, Lord, we pray that you would just come down by your Spirit and renew and revive us again. For indeed, your Spirit is like a fountain of living water that bubbles up from us, from within us, each day. Each day, it continues to flow. So, Lord, I pray that it would not become a stagnant pool, but it would just continue to be that fountain of living water. Let the rain come, O God. Let this be the day that you establish what you are doing, something new in our midst. Bring in the lost, O God. Bring in those that are weak and frail and sick spiritually, Lord. Lord, that we may lay our hands upon them and see them healed. That we may see you work in the midst of them, O God. And be blessed, O God. Bring in the children, O God. And I don't mean just young people, Lord. I pray that you would bring in the children, Lord, that they may come into a place and become mature. Establish new furniture in this place, O God. Establish new structures within this place, O God. I pray that you would come and establish new pillars, O God, in this house. Come, Lord,
begin to do a new building, begin to do a new thing in our midst, O God. Extend out our cords, O God. Extend the size of the tent, Lord Jesus. For the Lord says, you've been faithful with little. Now I desire to give you much more. Look for it. Embrace it. And enjoy it, says the Lord.